alive and powerful, sharply a two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and ends into the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Say, show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This morning to the doctrine of love, we'll pick up Roman numeral 11, page 9 of our notes. Christ himself taught that a time is that believers will worship in spirit and in truth. That's a direct reference regards to the church age dispensation, which was coming upon the scene immediately after Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. And the two ingredients necessary to engage in true worship is the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit and the truth of Bible doctrine. And how you are able to acquire the filling of the Holy Spirit, of which all believers are indwelled, which occurs immediately at the point of salvation, both indwelling and filling. You lose the filling whenever you engage in personal sin or life. How you recapture the filling ministry and fulfillment of the royal imperative is through the rebound technique, 1 John 1:9. In our personal acknowledgement, prayer, confession to God, he forgives us experientially in regards to our sins, and that we are in fellowship and stay in that condition of spirituality, and again, until we sin again. It is a continuous battle in regards to the Christian believer and seeking to fulfill God's plan for their life, to deal with their sin nature throughout their life. There's no believer who is completely righteous and does not sin, and that includes each and every one of us, so we must deal with that. And then we take the truth of Bible doctrine in this condition, which places us under the gap system, the grace apparatus perception, of the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, of which it is necessary to understand and discern the divine viewpoint of life. The natural man does not know and understand these things. Only the Spirit-filled believer under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit is able to discern and correctly put together the truth of Bible doctrine in regards to their Christian lives. That is the anomaly in regards to Bible doctrine. God keeps it hid from those who are negative, and they will not follow his marching orders, if you will, in regards to assimilation of his word. For those who are true seekers, those, as we were saying, are positive in Bible doctrine, are willing to line up in regards to the dictates of being in fellowship, and functioning under the proper system, under the royal chain of command, and proper pastor teacher, and their sound doctrine, you are given insight in regards to the plan of God, and therefore are able to discern these things. So that is our quest, so that we can fulfill God's plan for our life in action with honor versus action without honor. We provide every believer an opportunity to make sure you're in fellowship once again as we start with our usual customary word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you again for the truth of your word. We ask that you bless us in regards to our comprehending and apprehending of these things and employing it in our own Christian lives and to facilitate your plan for our lives, glorifying you for all eternity via God the Holy Spirit once again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in finishing up in the review of the doctrine of love. One of the outstanding aspects regards to this doctrine that it reveals is the gross misunderstanding, especially of believers, in regards to what love constitutes with respect to fulfilling God's plan for their life. The Bible clearly teaches that there are two different kinds of love. These loves are expressed under two family of words, the phileo, the verb, family, and the agapao family of words, agape, phile, etc., as the nouns. Fundies are always trying agape love. Do they really understand what it means? Phileo love is a natural love. It is natural affection. Anyone can have this love. The unbeliever possesses this love for others. They have a natural affection, a natural affinity in regards to the individual, and the light goes in, in regards to the individual with respect to what that individual is to them in a relationship. but it is the agapao family of words that is unique in and of itself. Only the believer, and the believer in fellowship, can possess and execute this kind of love in their Christian life. It is the highest form of love. In fact, for the believer priest, it is the love of which their natural love, their phileo love, finds its full completeness and full execution of in regards to God's plan for their life. The unbeliever does not have agapao love because they do not have God the Holy Spirit. That love comes from God and is given to the individual to express it through God the Holy Spirit and through the principle of regeneration or the new birth of the human spirit. And it is this love that demands the filling of God the Holy Spirit and the proper application of Bible doctrine in the Christian life. Christ himself, using the term of agapao love, says, "You cannot love me if you don't do my words." See? And again, anybody can get the truth of doctrine, but it's another type of level of positive volition that applies it. And if you don't apply Bible doctrine, it's not doing you any good. All you're doing is engaging in some intellectual exercise otherwise. And we read the verses in regards to the attraction sometimes of sound truth towards those who are intellectually stimulated. And they're kind of taken back in regards to the truth and the power of it when it is taught properly and understand in fellowship. But they fail to apply doctrine. And God looks at judgment in regards to these because they're not willing to take his word and implement it in their Christian life. And divine love demands that you apply the doctrine. And a good example of the use of this agapao or agape family of words in this vein is found in 1 Corinthians 13, which is Roman numeral 11, page 9 of our notes. In 1 Corinthians 13, love, the agape love, is technical for the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, apart from which there is no divine good production. Bringing in the doctrine of divine good production under the doctrine of SG3, etc., to do those things which is honorable to God, which he accepts, and he will reward the believer for, it must be done in the sphere of, as we would say, divine love. And 1 Corinthians 13 brings this out, which wreaks havoc in regards to the commentaries who do not have a true understanding of this term, and obviously abused otherwise, where love in these verses constitutes the filling of God the Holy Spirit, or else what is going on is worthless. And there in this regards to this passage, five hypothetical statements are used to show the foolishness of great service, insight, and sacrifice apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. To engage in even great things on behalf, if you will, of God and his plan, if you do it out of fellowship, it's worthless because it does not come under the umbrella of experiential righteousness. And God only accepts that which is righteous, righteous under his terms and conditions, which, hence the need for salvation, our Lord and Savior, who is sinless to give us that plus R, and the need for rebound in regards to our Christian life. Verses 1 through 3, it begins, brings out the questions, third-class conditions here in our particle, conditional particles, if, maybe yes, maybe no. I speak with the tongues of men. They're looking at the temporary gift of tongues in regards to its application, as well as teaching the doctrine and of angels. And the funding said, we'll take this verse and wrench it out of context and say tongues are a language of angels. No, they're not. Angels, every chord of every angel speaks in regards to a language that is understandable by men. Recorded in the Bible. But hypothetically, he's just saying, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, that's divine love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. This is in God's eyes, in the true spiritual reality. The noise, such as myself getting up here and teaching out of fellowship, to God, I am nothing but a loud racket. And that is the essential ingredient is necessary to plug in regards to gifts, etc., and the proper communication of doctrine being applied otherwise. And then he goes on, and if I have prophecy, the gifts of prophecy understood, and know all mysteries and all knowledge, to be able to gap the information together in regards to these things, or have all the information presented to them, to be able to intellectually have understanding. And if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, if it is possible, see, to go to this degree, that I do not have love, I am nothing. All that you have accomplished, humanly speaking, even in regards to faith, is worthless before God, because you're out of fellowship. And if God is jealous of anything, it's God the Holy Spirit, as we saw that earlier in our studies. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, not just, you know, the tip of what you have extra in your life in giving, but you give all your possessions. You sacrifice everything, see. To feed the poor. And if I deliver my body to be burned, that's giving up your life. But do not have love, it profits me nothing. The prophet is obviously looking at the future eternal result in regards to SG3 in that respect. So that is a hypothetical situation brought out. And love in that context can only mean the filling of God the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, really, these things don't make sense in the human terms. So, B, then in verses 4 through 7, Paul describes the characteristics of the filling of the Holy Spirit, both in the positive and negative terms. Verse 4, he gives the attributes in regards to love. God's love. Love is patient. This is evidence. Love is kind, and it's not jealous. That's isolation of the sin nature, see. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Under true humility, you are in fellowship. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not selfish. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Willing to forgive. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. With respect to God and His plan and doctrine, etc. See, then in verses 8 through 12, Paul explains that the filling of the Holy Spirit will continue long after the temporary gifts have ceased. Verse 8, and which these are proof verses in regards to temporal and extant gifts in addition to the lesson taught on divine love. Love never fails. That's because it has God. That is the power and source of this love. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. Both of those spiritual gifts were temporary gifts given to the early church to help it get on its feet, to help fill in the void of the New Testament scriptures yet to be written, which God provided a doctrine and means to communicate doctrine supernaturally to that point. Now that we got the scriptures, these gifts are no longer necessary. They will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. That looks at the spiritual gift of knowledge, supernatural insight in regards to revelation of doctrine. And he goes on, for we know in part, we prophesy in part. That's the way doctrine is always communicated. You don't get the entire counsel in one sitting. We went through the Bible in 1 year, the entire Bible. Whoa, whoopee. Now, how much of that did you get? How is that helping you? Like, speed is the issue. No understanding, depth of understanding is the issue. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. Perfect there looks at the perfect law of liberty when it is completed in its written form. We call that the New Testament canon of Scripture. That is God's directive will laid down in a written form for mankind. And it goes on to note the use of the temporary gifts and puts them within an analogy of toys. When I was a child, I used to speak as a child, I think as a child, reason as a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. Those temporary supernatural gifts, again, was for the transition of going into the new church age from the age of Israel, establishing the local church in its infancy, evangelizing immediately those around them in languages that they did not know and had been taught and could do that supernaturally through tongues, etc. And to give evidence, clear evidence, that God's plan indeed had changed and that God was behind these who were communicating the truths of this new dispensation called the church. But once the church had sufficient doctrine, the scriptures had come about and written in its completed form, ending with the book of Revelation sometime in the mid-90s, and put together, eventually, these supernatural gifts were no longer necessary. And he says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly," that's the Word of God, "but then face to face, one of these days we'll understand every aspect of it. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, just as I also have been fully known." Verse 13, "But now by faith, hope, and love," these three, "but the greatest of these is love." And that is because divine love exists for all eternity. Once we complete our course, we are face to face with God, with Jesus Christ. Faith and love, faith and hope are no longer necessary. It becomes the experience. So that's point B. In fact, love, the filling of the Holy Spirit, will continue into phase three, where faith and hope cease. Alright, Roman numeral 12. "To the extent you stay under the filling of the Holy Spirit, to that degree you have divine good production." That you operate under divine love. Why we assist that you get in fellowship when you apply doctrine, so that it counts. And the good is divine good, not just human good, energy of the flesh. John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me." Another term used in a technical sense of the filling of the Holy Spirit. To take up experiential residence with Christ, in Christ, and within the position of being a believer. See, and I in him, that's Bible doctrine in you. You got to have those combinations. "He bears much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing." In other words, it demands the righteousness that he gave to us at the point of salvation experientially also to make whatever we do worth SG3, acceptable to God. In verse 9, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Whereas he puts directly the concept of divine love along with the abiding application of Bible doctrine, filling the Holy Spirit, etc. Alright, Roman numeral 13. "The mature believer loves his appearing." 2 Timothy 4:8. The Christian process demands spiritual growth, Christian life. All believers start off in a state of infancy. Basic doctrine is taught. They are able to get that. They start implementing it. And over a consistent regimen of NPR, applying doctrine, one builds a frame of reference. One starts growing in regards to their understanding, depth of understanding and discernment in regards to God's plan. And you grow up into, if you will, an age of adolescence, just like in the physical world. And the goal in regards to the Christian life is to maintain your spiritual growth process in this fashion until one becomes a complete believer, a mature believer, applying doctrine at an exceptionally high level in one's Christian life. And it doesn't end there. Obviously, one then must hold to the end if they expect to be a prize winner. But for the believer who has reach that level of appreciation for doctrine through experience. The appearing will mean everything to them. Is parousia, his coming, 2 Timothy 4:8. In regards to Paul, and here bringing out the aspect that you've got to hold to the end. I have fought the good fight, verse 7. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the wreath of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. A proof text that we use in regards to the fact that the wreaths are available, not only just certain wreaths, not just the pastor teacher, but the wreaths are available for all. And obviously, what constitutes loving his appearing is verse 7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. And that is the exhortation, that is the call, and encouragement to one another in regards to times of testing, etc. Stay the course. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep dealing with the inward battle, dealing with your STA, etc. And hang in there with it. It will be worth it if you do hang in there with it. Roman numeral 14. This gives you some examples of inappropriate objects of love as a final reminder in closing the doctrine. A, we're not to love, obviously, lies, mistruths, human viewpoint, however you want to term it. Revelation 22:15. In regards to the new eternal state and the example of absolute righteousness that it represents in Christ himself with respect to the teaching for John, deals in that outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. Looking at to the unbelieving crowd obviously they hold to a form of human viewpoint throughout the entirety of their lives. They are not willing to accept the truth of the gospel, dealing with the SCA, etc. in regards to their lives. But everyone who loves and practices lying, when you engage in that, you emulate your unbelieving counterpart. Those who love darkness. Again, the same vein, if you will, John 3:19. As it is evidence of negative volition. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world in the person of Jesus Christ, expressed under the truth of Bible doctrine. And it is here. And men love the darkness rather than the light. Looking at negative volition, rejecting the truth as represented by Jesus Christ in this regard. And they love darkness rather than the light. One of the few times that our agape family words is used in a context that is bad. But it notes the characteristics, the attributes of these individuals of being negative. An expression to, a reaction to the truth. For their works were evil. Our works are likened to filthy menstrual rags to God. Unless they come under the cleansing process. Filling the Holy Spirit for salvation, filling the Holy Spirit and application of doctrine. See, we are not to love the world. The world will throw everything and anything it can at you to distract you in regards to the truth and God's plan for your life. You're not to embrace it in that respect. We're in the world, we've got to use the world, use it wisely. And again, 1 John 2:15, stop loving the world is a commandment, nor the things in the world. All the things that obviously stimulates the sin nature. Distracts you from your spiritual advance. Application of doctrine. Your true focus in life, which is to get the prize. The love for the Father is not in him if he loves the world. Your focus is not God first in your life. Money. Love for money. Matthew 6, 19 through 34. Here, obviously, there's nothing wrong in and of itself in regards to currency. That's how men do business with one another. Whether the currency is under precious metals, fiat, paper money, or goods. But the issue is to not let money rule your life and to keep your proper focus on SG3 in your eternal life niche otherwise. And that's the emphasis in regard to Jesus' teaching, verse 19, Matthew 6. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. All these things are in a position of being ruined, destroyed, stolen, or otherwise. Like buying a brand new car, and you know, and you park in a parking lot, and some person wants to open the door hard and nick your paint. You get out there and you find out how much doctrine you really have. These things are all able to be damaged, etc. They're physical. And that's not where our vision and focus to lay in regards to our own lives. It is verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's SG3. Buying good production. Doing things where you will have an eternal reward, which these things eternally, nothing can damage it. And it will never wear out, etc. And where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in or steal. That's because God's in control and charge of these things. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. To the degree one applies Bible doctrine, pursues application of divine good versus not, is an indicator of where they are spiritually and where they're thinking lies. The lamp of the body is the eye. Here is the soulish eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Keeping your SGA overruled is the analogy. Good vision, see, under gap and focus regards one's Christian life. And your body will then reflect that in regards to what it accomplishes in life under the principle of divine good production. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If you are negative regards to doctrine otherwise, and want to embrace human viewpoint, the sin nature, you'll run under your sin nature. And you have darkness which God does not accept. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? If you're rejecting doctrine in some area in your life, I understand it's darkness. And the question is put forth, how great is that darkness? Is it enough to wreck you spiritually? See? Is the insinuation? No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold the one and despise the other. Then he gives the example, he cannot serve God and mammon, which is money or riches. If you want to be the next billionaire in life, you might as well scratch off Bible doctrine. If you're going to go pursue it in regards to your profession, your career. Either you make your commitment, one way or the other. As Jesus would say, otherwise, make your tree good or bad. 1 Timothy 3:3. And again, doesn't mean it's wrong to try to better oneself in a legitimate pursuit in regards to things. We're not talking about that. But you don't want to violate doctrine trying to do it. You don't compromise your spiritual advance otherwise. 1 Timothy 3:3, in regards to the pastor-teacher, he must be, at the end of the verse, free from the love of money. Can't be that which motivates me. Just that which sustains me. And then Hebrews 13:5, let your character or manner of life be free from the love of money. Being content with what you have. It's called acclimation to one's niche. Let God prosper you. Let God bless you. It doesn't mean be lazy and adopt a bad work habits and otherwise. Be stupid about these things. No, again, it has to deal with acclimation to doctrine. Making that first and foremost your pursuit. And being acclimated, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never fail or desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Knowing that God's there. He's the one that provides our living grace. He's the one that blesses us. And just because a person is making lots of money because they're not under sound teaching or they forsake NPR, etc., doesn't mean that God's blessing, even though they may give lip service to that. The world blesses too. Satan blesses his own. And he can definitely use it as an enticement in regards to dragging people away from the truth. Understand that. Pleasures. Again, doesn't mean that legitimate pleasures are not beneficial and okay. It's just that it's not your pursuit in life. Funds bill. In regards to emulating those in the last days that are running under their STAs unbridled. In verse 4, who are in addition in regards to other aspects of SCA manifestations, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So, the jet setters, people that have to go out and pursue all kinds of adventures, our media promotes this kind of stuff, vacation hounds, gotta have their yachts. If you have that kind of money, why would you buy a yacht if you're in doctrine? What? You're going to take off for a year and sail the world and miss Bible class? Be thankful you don't have that kind of money if you had those kind of dreams. Maybe your salvation. But pleasures of life. Again, there's not anything wrong taking a break, having a vacation. We're not talking about that. We all need a break on occasion. Boy, do we. G, yourself. Love of yourself. Thinking too highly of yourself. Another manifestation, that's verse 2, the same passage, for men will be lovers of self as well as lovers of money. The arrogant types. So it's me, me, me. And you replicate yourself in the matrix. Matrix of the STA. Age your life in general. Revelation 12:11. The overcomers in regards to the Antichrist. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. And you will have believers of this ilk, whereas martyrdom is, in regards to at least our society, is generally not that apparent. I'm not saying it doesn't happen still throughout the world and otherwise. But during the tribulation, there'll be an unbelievable manifestation of martyrdom. Believers who will not take the mark of the beast, will not line up the new world order, and under political captivity will be executed and murdered, as well as through other means and fashions. So these are willing to not compromise doctrine, even if it costs them their life. Now that's a prize contender right there. Ending up here, our verses that we wrote out, John 14:24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Over and out. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. That's God's plan. And 1 Corinthians 14:1, we are to pursue love. And 2 Corinthians 6:6, we are to do things in genuine love. So grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible that only comes through the filling of God the Holy Spirit in conjunction with their human spirit executing these things. Ephesians 6:24. All right.